Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this lovely, cool morning. Woo, what a day, what a day. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Grateful that we have it, and happy birthday. My sorority sisters, Delta Sigma Theta, Sorority Incorporated. On January 13th, we celebrated our anniversary, created in 111th anniversary. So grateful, thankful, and blessed to be a member of that illustrious sorority. But more than anything, I am grateful to be a child of the Most High God. January 1913, it's when my sorority was created. It is a public service sorority, and I'm grateful to do service to the community as well as service to God. So good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me this morning. I know I'm a little hoarse, but it's the change in weather, but I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be on this side of the earth. It is minus 7 degrees where I am, but I am grateful because God uses cold to do some cleaning. So some cleaning is going on, and we thank God for it. I was at church on yesterday, and Pastor Michelle, who brought the sermon, stated that, you know, because she likes researching. She has tendencies. And she and I have very similar tendencies to like to look up stuff. And it states that when you have a cold winter, mosquito population. So that's a good thing. Less mosquitoes is a good thing come because they carry disease and all kind of things. So we thank God for the cold. Thank God for the deep freeze. It is doing nothing more than helping us. And so we thank God for it. And as we get ready to start this morning, we start in our prayer book. And our prayer for this January 15th morning is accepting others. As it is in your heart, let it be in mine. Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other, which will bring glory to God. And that's from the NCV version, the Word of God. Again, as it is in your heart, let it be in mine. Christ accepted you, so you should accept each other, which will bring glory to God. And that's what we want to do in everything we do, bring glory to God. But with God, all things are possible. With God, we can move mountains. With God, we can turn a mustard seed into a tree. Hallelujah. We can do everything but fail. Trust in the Lord. And so many times we don't. We trust in each other. We trust in man, but not in God. And we have got to trust God in all things. Trust God. And know that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you belong to him. God, I am so grateful that you are not exclusive with your love. I, on the other hand, have limits to the love that I naturally give to others. But how can I refuse to accept others when you have welcomed me with open arms? I want to be like you, Jesus, welcoming my brothers and sisters without condition. According to your word, there isn't a difference between slave or free, male or female. Jew or Greek, they are all the same in you. God, you don't set a precedent of favoritism. So why should I? As you have loved, so let me love. Your beautiful example of compassion and acceptance broke the mold of expectation, cultural norms, and religious rites. Your kingdom is not about my comfort, and I will not let my biases keep me from seeking others as you do. Fill me with your love that I may see others whom the world overlooks. And the question as we start our word this morning is this. Is there someone in your life that you have been struggling to accept? Is there someone in your life that you have been struggling to accept? Think about it and keep moving, because we as children of God have got to love each other as God loved us. Heavenly Father God, we come together this morning in love, knowing that nothing is impossible for you, God. We ask you, Father, as we go into this world, that we go into our day, that many travel the highways, byways, skyways, and trainways, planes, trains, and automobiles, God. We ask your blessings over each and every one. Lord God, we pray for the homeless today, that each one has found shelter, that we do not read in the newspaper or on the web or hear on the news of a homeless person dying from this cold. So God, I ask you to put a hedge of protection around your homeless and unhoused children, God. Give them shelter. Give them sustenance. Give them everything they need. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we're asking you to please take care of your children. Please, God, watch over them. Put an angel over each one that not one dies in this horrible weather. And Father God, as you bless them, give them clear minds. Remove all spirits from them that are keeping them from walking a life that they are meant to walk, living the life they are meant to live with a clean heart and a clear mind. Father God, protect them from all hurt, harm, and evil. And Lord, as you protect them, protect each and every listener and their families, God. Keep them safe and covered under the blood of Jesus. Lord God, watch over our seniors, God, who live alone, that may not think to cut up their heat, and those that may not have heat, God. We're asking you to protect all of your children. And Lord, as I lift up this word today, I pray that it touches someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. And Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I am nothing without him. I cannot do this without him. So forgive the voice this morning as we go to the word of God. And for those of you that are joining me this early morning, I thank God for you. And I ask him to give you a special, special blessing. In the name of Jesus, we move forward in the word of God. And the word says, so Jacob, and we know the trickster, is on his way to his uncle's house. He has done some dirt. Let's call it like it was. He done some dirt, him and his mama. They have tricked his brother, his father, into giving him his brother's birthright, his brother's blessing, because his brother sold his birthright. And so she is sending him to her brother to keep him safe from his from Esau, his brother, who wants to kill him. And not only is he his brother, but he is his twin. They are fraternal twins and not identical twins. And so Esau is on the war path. He is ready to kill his brother. But we know that that's not going to happen because they are brothers. But we understand that everything happens for a reason. It was not meant for Esau to have the blessing, because if it was meant for him to have it, he would have had it. And so we got to remember that everything is for a purpose and a reason. And it says, so Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, here were there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flock. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. He said to them, my brothers, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. Then he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. So he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well, and look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. She was a shepherdess. Then he said, look, it is still a high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together, water the sheep, and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together. And they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. Now, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. And, you know, when they say her eyes were delicate, it makes you think that she was probably a little cockeyed, is what they called her back in my day, that she might have been a little cockeyed. So she didn't look the best. Now they do surgery for that, and it's no big deal. but she had delicate eyes. And then it may have been that she just needed glasses. So you never know what that meant back in that day. And it just means that she was either, we call it, it's actually cross-eyed, but we called it cock-eyed back in my day. And also, she might just have needed glasses. Because when you need glasses, sometimes your eyes don't focus like they need to. So there was something wrong with Leah's eyes. He says, the Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I. And he says, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife for my days are fulfilled, that I may go to her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid, Zilpah, to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? Can we say pot calling the kettle black? Because he was just as bad. We know what he did to his brother. And now he got served with the okie doke. What did he do? Go to his dad in sheep wool, pretending to be his hairy brother. Put on his brother's clothes, pretending to be his brother to get his blessing. And now he got served with the same okie doke. You thought you was going into Rachel, and it was Leah. Same thing. Deception. Family blood, I guess. That's a generational curse. You got to bind in the spirit, because we know that Rachel does some stuff that is not right, too. And it goes on to say, Laban said, it must not be done. So in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn, fulfill your week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve when he's still another 7 years. So he getting 14 years for one daughter when it was supposed to be 7. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. But she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? So she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, and I also may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, his wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan, and Rachel's made Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maiden, gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. And Asher is my great nephew's name. At first, I did not want the name Asher, but now I'm glad she did name him Asher. What a beautiful name. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrake in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrake. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you away my son's mandrake also? And, you know, I always read that, and I'm like, wait a minute, girlfriend. You acting like your sister took your husband when the man worked 7 years for your sister first. And God has given you the children from your body. So you're still complaining about your sister. So there's a jealousy there also. You know, so you're dealing with jealousy and envy and deception. This is a mess of family that you can only say, oh, my goodness, Lord, what's going on with them? And a mandrake is perennial herb with large top roots that can grow up to 2 feet in length. The flowers emerge in a cluster from the center of the plant, and depending on the species, range in color from a yellow green to a bluish purple. The sweet-smelling roots resemble small yellow apples. So they're like a delicacy. And Rachel said, therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrake. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son mandrake. And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wife and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please say, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? So he said, what shall I give you? And Joseph said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen, if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your words. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white stripes in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink. They should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flocks of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban and the stronger Jacob. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So he was still a trickster. He was still a mess. He was still setting up the odds in his favor. Even though they were sheep, he was still doing his thing because he was something else. And as we go into Genesis chapter 29 and 30, verses 4 to verse 43, detour, says in Genesis 29:15-30, it happens just as you are within sight of your goal. Something puts the object of your pursuit even farther away from your grasp. It is a detour that makes you doubt whether you will ever succeed in your efforts. Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and instead he got Leah. And so he had to work a whole nother 7 years for Rachel, even though he married her within a week. He had to work 7 more days to get her as his wife, but 7 more years as payment. For Jacob, it was the moment he realized he had married Leah instead of Rachel. And the question is, how did he miss? But I believe that if I'm not mistaken, they cover their faces, and all you see, should see, is the eyes. But I would say over Leah, they probably put a full veil so he did not say, went into a darkened tent, did what they had to do, and he didn't see until the next morning, which means she and Rachel must have been built alike, but just had the situation where the eyes that made her different from her sister. And it says this, for Jacob, it was the moment he realized he had married Leah instead of Rachel. For the disciples, it was when the Messiah they hoped would restore the kingdom of Israel was crucified. What was it for you? Did your company reorganize and let you go just as you were up for a promotion? Has some illness or financial problem impeded your progress? It can be any number of setbacks that breaks your heart and crush your spirit. Yet understanding this, God has not failed you. He has better plans than you realize. Though the detour is difficult, you will see that it was definitely worth it. Remember, God had a greater plan for Jacob. From Leah's womb came 6 of the tribes of Israel. And we already know. And from her maid, Delpha, came 2 more of the tribes. For the disciples, 3 days after the crucifixion, they discovered that the kingdom the Messiah was ushering in was greater and more powerful than they could ever imagine, because it was the eternal kingdom of God. What you must ask yourself as you wait is if this goal you have been pursuing is more important than your relationship with God. Will you still trust him, even though you cannot see how to reach your goal? Trust him. Friends, surely the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Psalm 138:8. God will perfect what concerns us. Why? Because he loves us more than we can imagine, more than we can think. God loved us. Tricksters he loves. And then in Genesis 29:35, it says, I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. And we know that Judah was something else too. Come on, call it like it was. What he did in Tamar was something else, because he had wicked sons. He wanted to blame her. But then Perez, and out of Perez came Boaz. And out of Ruth and Boaz came David, down in the stretch. You know, we got to thank God, because God is already making plans through Judah. And Leah hoped to find happiness first in the love of her husband, then in the blessing of sons. But in the end, she began to see that love can be found only in an intimate relationship with God. Genesis 30:2, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? You know, Rebecca started complaining, but we already know it wasn't her husband that was barren. It was her for a minute until God opened her womb. God is the one that gives us children. God gives and God takes away. And we have to understand that. You know, it was hard for me when I had a miscarriage, because I was like, Lord, I've always loved you. I've always served you. Why did you take this baby from me? Because I wanted my child, but it wasn't meant to be. God knows everything. He knows the whys and the whens, and we have to trust in him. And then it tells us in our word here, when Rebecca tried and failed to have children, her husband Isaac prayed for her. In Genesis 25:21, Abraham had done the same for Abimelech's household, but Jacob had not yet learned the power of being on his knees in prayer. He hadn't learned it yet, even though he was at the ladder with the angel, going up and down from heaven. He still didn't get it. He still didn't understand the power of prayer, but he will. Before it is over, he will understand prayer. And as we go into our Psalms this morning, we are in the 8th Psalm, verses 1-5. Our proverb today, which is where our title is coming from, and our New Testament is Matthew 10:21-42. And in our psalm, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gad, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. And this is also a hymn. And when I hear this scripture, it touches my heart. And when I hear the hymn, it touches my heart. We need to go back to singing hymns in the church. The new music is wonderful, but there is nothing like scriptural hymns. And it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor. And as we go to the life lesson from this psalm, what is a man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You know, in the psalm, Friend of God, it asks the question, who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you, and that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. And, you know, when we think about what is a man that you are mindful of him, God is mindful of us. God hears us. God loves us. We are friends of God. And it says the more we learn about the vastness of the universe, the more powerful this question becomes. Although we are but a speck drifting in the immensity of the cosmos, God places his love and unwavering attention on us. We are special to God. And all we should say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for caring about me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. What's the song? I want you to know the Lord is keeping me. We got to be grateful and thankful to know that we are blessed by God to be his children and that he loves us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And understand, Jacob had to use wisdom to know that if I put these rods in this water, the sheep are going to be mine. And if I don't, they're going to be laden. You know, he understood, I got to work for this man. And I'm going to work as long as I can. But I'm taking my family out of here. And the scripture that we pray every morning when we end this show comes from Laban and Jacob. And when we get to that scripture, you'll understand what I'm talking about. We're a little far from it, but we will get to it. And I just want you to understand that they had to come to an agreement of the Lord watching between them while they're absent from each other. Just like we come to agreement every day that the Lord will watch over each and every one of us while we are absent from each other every day. So we trust God because we want to be that happy man. We want to be happy in our walk, happy in our talk. And we want wisdom, and discernment is another one that we want discernment too. Wisdom and discernment. But happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. With wisdom comes understanding. We need them both. But here, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain, fine gold. Wisdom is a woman. Come on now. It's a spirit of a woman, I should say. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life of those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. God is good, and we have to remember how good and how excellent he is, for he loves us more than words can ever express. He loves us more than God. He loves us as our God, because he is that good, that good. I'm so grateful. God is good. and I'm thankful for it. God loves us so much. And as we go into our New Testament word, it says, now brother will deliver a brother to death. And this is the end time. This is when they're talking in the end of day. And a father, his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And understand, even in their time, we know that Jerusalem was destroyed. We know that these people were scattered through the world. They were scattered. The Hebrews, where many do not know who they are and who they belong to. They have no memory of who they are. And in this time, you have children who may not be saved turning in their Christian parents. You have children that may have been saved being turned in by their un-Christian parents. So it was a lot going on at the time during the persecution. Jesus knew they would be persecuted for his name's sake way before it happened. Before his death, he knew that things would go all upside down and crazy. And it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, but there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. That's a highlightable because we're seeing these things happening today. But there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Everything done in the dark always comes into the light. God is showing us some folks right now. He's showing us some pastors that have fallen. We don't take our foot and grind them down. We pray for them. But understand, done in the dark comes into the light. And when the light comes on, you're like, oh, my God, this is horrible. Help me to clean up, straighten up, do what's right, and pray for those who fall. Pray for the brokenhearted. Pray for the ones that have stumbled and fallen. Because there are some that we're like, wow, I like him. I love this message, but then they lose it and fall into the world. And we have to pray instead of vilifying, stepping on, stomping on. We got to pray for them. We got to pray for those who are being dragged through the mud. Doesn't mean you follow them, but you still pray for them. Because the word of God has told us that there will be many wolves in sheep clothing. So we're going to have to pray. We pray for them.
Amen.
But we don't pray.
Amen.
Good morning, Mother. How are
Amen.
You this lovely morning?
Good morning. I just got to
message. We are a little early today. We're almost done. We are in the book of Matthew, and we are talking about verse number 26. About starting at verse number 26. And it tells us, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And I was telling
mm-hmm.
that there are pastors right now where things are being revealed. There are stuff that's showing up. Folks that you respected, you know, love those pastors that are singers. Love their music. Love their worship. And then they walk it out, and you're like, what? They walking it out on New Year's. And not walking, you might as well be in the club, because they are doing the same thing in the house of God that folks are doing in the club. And we got to pray for them. You know, and it says where, and then it tells us, wherever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows, and not one of them falls to the ground, apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered, Mother. Every hair on our head is numbered. And guess what? God knows the number. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You have folks that don't want to talk about Jesus because they in a certain crowd of people. You better talk about him wherever you are, because you never know. You might be the only Jesus they see. So we can't be afraid to talk about who God is and that we love him. We got to trust the Lord. We got to praise him. We can't be afraid to let folks know, I love God, and I'm going to walk in his way. Not my way, not my will, but the Lord's. And it says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Jesus said it. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. But we always say, peace on earth, goodwill to men. But Jesus didn't say that. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. That's what he said. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. But I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We got to always put God first. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And we learned that in Revelation. To die is to live, and to live is to die. If you want to live and you take the mark of the beast, you're going to die eternally. If you say, not today, Satan, I'm not taking your mark. If I die, I die. I die for the Lord. Have eternal life. We got to understand Jesus came to clean up some stuff. And he says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And as we go into our life lesson in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Just before his execution, Jesus told the Roman governor Pilate, you can have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. He didn't fear Pilate because God was in control. We can't fear. We can't walk in fear. We walk in faith. We walk in faith. And when we walk in faith, we don't walk in fear of what the enemy is going to do next. Because we got to keep remembering who has the power. God has the power. God has it. God. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. By his spirit. God is in control. And when we come to that realization, we don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. Matthew 10:42. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, you shall by no means lose his reward. He shall by no means lose his reward. God doesn't reward only big jobs and important works. He loves to give, and he gives to reward obedience, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem to us. God gives us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. When you look around and you see, oh, Lord, how am I going to take care of all of this? Understand, one man's mess is another man's blessing. And we need to remember that. As we judge, we don't know. God may give overflow, so overflow can give to others. We got to give what God has given. We got to love others as God has loved us. Love the Lord with Amen. All your heart. We got to love him with all our heart. We got to seek his face. And we got to ask for wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. We need that. In the book of Genesis, Jacob didn't always, he had wisdom. But he was, and he even had understanding of how he could scheme and steal. Because that's what he did. He was a mess. But when it got put back on him, he didn't know how to handle it. When he was given Leah instead of Rachel, he didn't know what to do. But again, it was a kettle and a pot. He stole his brother's blessings and birthright by scheming and conniving. And Laban got 14 plus years of his life by scheming shenanigans. He said, I'll give you Leah first because I'm going to tell you it's just not done in our country that the younger should marry before the older. Now, you know good and well that was probably not true, but because Jacob had no knowledge, he accepted it as his truth. And dealing with crazy, that's what you do, because he was in love. 14 plus, I believe it wound up being about 21 years that he worked for his father-in-law. And then jealousy is coming up in our words in this family. Jealousy of Laban's son against Jacob. You know, understanding all the foolishness that goes on in families. But what did Jesus tell us? He was their father against daughter. It said a man against his father, a daughter against the mother, a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And as we go through the Word of God, we saw that all through. We've seen it in our families. You know, I listen to these, I call them mini soap operas on YouTube. And a whole lot of them, you know, deal with daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws, and not mother-in-laws mistreat their daughter-in-laws and all of the foolishness of life. And then you look around and you say, Lord, thank you. I didn't have to deal with all of that kind of crazy because I got along with my mother-in-law. And God knows I miss her every day. Because she took me in as her daughter. as my father-in-law took me in as his daughter, and I called them mom and daddy till the day they left this earth. Why? Because that's what they told me to call them. Because they told
Amen.
Me when I married their son, I became their daughter. So I tell you, we've got to know that we are loved by God, and we got to love each other. And the most that we need, we got to have wisdom. Wisdom. And with our wisdom, we got to get understanding. Ask
Amen.
God to give you everything you need, and he will. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from my sister in Christ and a word from Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, how are you this lovely cold morning?
I'm doing fine this morning. I'm just sorry that I missed being on the show because when we were talking about Jacob, Jacob really got angry with Rachel. And you know,
oh, yeah.
I wanted to read that and that he was really upset with her. Give me children or let Esau die. Now, my God, can I give you children? I didn't hold children from your womb. He was really angry.
Yeah,
he
got
he was really
angry. You know,
Amen.
Am I in the place of God,
God
who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Wow. That's some harsh words to say to a barren woman. You know, especially after her sister then gave you six kids. Come on now. And then two more by her maid. You think that through. Of all the, and the only daughter.
Amen. I love what you were saying about wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man
That's
who
right.
gains understanding. That's what Solomon asked God. God said, I will give you anything that you want. Just say what you want. He said, I'll give you anything. And he said, Lord, I need wisdom. Will you please give me wisdom so that I can lead your awesome people? Give me wisdom. I mean, he didn't ask for riches and the life of his enemy. He asked for wisdom. And God said to him, because you have not asked for anything, I'm going to give you everything. God gave him everything. Solomon, there was no other person as wise as Solomon. And then I like what you said about fear. Do not fear. In the Bible, it says, do not fear 360 times days. He said, every day, do not fear, my little children. Do not fear. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Do not fear. This was a beautiful lesson.
Amen.
Everything was just beautiful. God is
and
good.
And I love the word that Sister Carolyn sent this morning because it's right in point with our lesson today. You cannot look forward at the same time. Keep focusing on what is ahead. Have a moving on mind. And I tell you,
moving
Jacob ahead. Didn't look behind. Jacob started planning because he knew that his father-in-law was just as much a trickster as himself. So he set it up. He said, I'll take all the blemished lambs and goats and leave you all the pristine. And then what did he do?
Amen.
Make them blemished so they became his. He took the strongest one and made them blemished. And the feeble ones he made unblemished. He had a plan. As they say, he had a plan. He was looking forward and not looking backwards because he already knew that backwards he'd be with Laban for the rest of his life working and not getting anything for it. So Jacob
Amen.
Was something else. But I tell you one thing. He got wisdom to understand that his father-in-law was not the best of people. And for those that are just joining us this morning at 7, I'm sorry to tell you. We did our show from 6 to 7 this morning because I have an obligation. I am going to our Martin Luther King celebration today. So a word has already been spoken. But if you have a cell phone, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, type in Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and you can listen to any show that we have taped. And as God put it in my heart, we are taping, but we are also on a conference call. So we are both blogging and taping at the same time. So I say to you, thank you so much for joining me. And, you know, for those that joined us late, you know, I'm so sorry. But, yeah, you have to kind of almost listen to us daily because we do give out church announcements. And this morning, for those that live in the Midwest, please bundle up. It is extremely cold. In some places, it is below 14 and 15 degrees. And then I just saw one place was 40 degrees below zero, which is extreme. So please, please, please bundle up. Looking cute is not worth your life. And I'm talking, I know kids are out of school today, but it is supposed to be cold again tomorrow when they go back to school. I'm sure some schools, hopefully, will be canceling classes so children are not standing at bus stops in below degree weather. So pray for our children. Pray for, again, those that are homeless or houseless. You know, pray for them that they will find shelter and that we will not hear of anyone dying in this cold. And that power companies will have compassion and turn heat and water on in homes that have people in them that may not have paid their bills, but that they are still going to get heat and water. So let's pray for folks not to be heartless during this time. And Mother, that is all I have. Can you pray us out as the Lord leads? May the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, please join us back at our regular time tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We're back to normal. So, Mother, pray us out as we get ready to move forward. And again, happy Martin Luther King Day to all of you. May you remember.
Amen.
That he was about to say, do something for someone this week. Thank you. Mother, I leave it to you.
Amen. Pastor, you make sure that you button up.
Oh, absolutely.
And enjoy your outing with Martin Luther King.
I have to work today. So I work this afternoon.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got to make a long day today. So I will definitely be bundling up, though, for sure.
Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you. You have done it again. You are a God of repetition. You did it again. We thank you for this cold day. It's cold, but we appreciate you waking us up. No clock woke us up. You did. Thank you, God. Bless all the pastors of the Table of Life Ministry, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Washington. And God, keep all your people safe and the people that are not your people that are coming to you. Keep them safe out there. And Lord, we want you to know we thank you. We are grateful. And God would say hallelujah, because hallelujah is the highest phrase. Hallelujah. 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 And thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name.
Boy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, Mother. Thank you for joining us this morning. And have a safe day. Stay in if you can. Don't go out because it is cold.
I'm not going out.
Amen.
Don't be out there.
Amen. Have a great day, everybody. Just remember, as you go through your day, what Dr. King was about, that he was about helping others. And he was assassinated because he was trying to bring people together and not tear them apart. So remember, for his legacy, don't hate. Don't hate. anyone because they don't look like you. They don't act like you. They don't smell like you. Love your neighbor and love yourself because that is from God. Have a great day, family.
Amen.
It is a wrap because I got to get ready.
It's a wrap.
And get bundled up. Thank you so much. Be good.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Bye-bye. It's a wrap.
Bye, Mom. God bless you all.